Good evening, Patriots. Sunday. It is Sunday, October 17th. And the world just can keep spinning and spinning and spinning. I don't know whether it's a ball, whether it's a frisbee, or whether it's a big donut. If it's a donut, it'd probably make more sense because it's like we're all, you get those donuts and they look like they're a, just like a big solid donut, and take a big bite, and it's all full of some sticky, sweet, fake fruit. Ugh, not my favorite. It's about what we're at right now. You're like, oh, what was inside of this donut? Ugh, bad. Not good. Lots of crazy stuff going on, though, and we know it, and our world is just bizarre as it can possibly be, and it keeps testing us, and it keeps getting crazier each day. Which begs the question of, like, who's really running this world? And we'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. And what's our real direction? Before we begin tonight, MyPillow.com is a fantastic place to get your Christmas gifts and your seasonal gifts. It is run by one of the greatest CEOs and patriots of our time, if not our country's history, Mike Lindell, who is not only a patriot and a great businessman, but he's a great Christian. He's been investing tens of millions of dollars in this nation to reset the elections and give us an election integrity back. And he runs a company that guarantees when you spend your dollars there, those dollars are being used for liberty, for the fight for liberty. So head on over to MyPillow.com. Use your promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, B-A-R-D-S. Scroll down on the front page to the radio listeners box. And the BARDS code works anywhere on that page. There's just always with the radio listeners box, there's some real special stuff going on. 50% off on my slippers. The towel sets, $109.99, regular down to $39.99. Giza sheets are on sale. They've got mattresses. They've got pillowcases for children. I wish I'm going to talk to them and see if they'll get more stuff for kids because that's really a good thing. It's just great products. I use them, and they're really legitimately good products. So you've got a great CEO, a great company, and great products, great value, and you know that when you spend those dollars, that your those portion of those dollars every time are going for the fight for liberty and the support of patriots, which is fantastic. So again, MyPillow.com, promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, and if you're so inclined to speak to somebody, call 800-975-2939, 800-975-2939. And you'll get a real live patriot sleep counselor, pillow counselor, and they'll set you right on up. And you won't be disappointed. Matter of fact, I'm going to buy some more My Slippers coming up. Also, Expedition Coffee, XPED, expeditioncoffee.com. It's a coffee designed to boost your focus. Keep your focus throughout the day, give you that caffeine boost, and also help enhance your health. It's a part of a group of products, and that's the foundational product to help seal your gut and give you more focus all through the day and boost your serotonin so that you can really stay focused throughout the entire day. This is a great coffee that was co-developed by with the lab and Dr. Eric Napudi. And it's a product that I was very honored to be asked if we want to white label, which we did, put our own brand on it. So it's something I really stand behind. It's, you know that I drink a lot of coffee. I'm down to one cup of coffee a day with this. That's all I drink. And then when you go to expeditioncoffee.com, XPED, expeditioncoffee.com, you're also going to see that there's a health gut triad there now. And we're going to be adding some more products there soon. The Health Gut Triad is designed to heal and seal your gut and keep you healthy, make your body stronger. And gut health is one of the critical things in keeping you strong and healthy. It isn't talked a lot about because it's the way to keep you out of the hospital. They want you in the hospital. So check out the coffee and the gut health triad at Expedition XP, expeditioncoffee.com, or go to bardsfm.com/coffee. Click on the links and you'll be right there. Great product. You won't be disappointed at all. I've been using them now going on almost, it's over 3 months, and I'm super happy with it. And like I've told you before, I don't endorse products that I don't try and test. And so that's another thing, just so you know. I've told you I'm going to be bringing on, very soon, I'm going to be bringing on hyperbaric chambers and saunas and some other stuff that I'm looking at. But any of those products that we're putting on the store, I've personally tried and own. So just so you know that. And I believe in them. There's a bunch of products I was asked to try out today, or I was going through today when I was cleaning up the studio. And I was like, yeah, well, nope, not happening. It didn't meet the standard. So out they go. All right. So Patriots, you know, I think if you heard today, that's like another Dell Bigtree had a good interview. And it's no surprise, but it's another whistleblower that's come out and explained to us that 90% of the people entering into the hospital sick are vaccinated, injected would be the better term. And I think the stunning part of what we're witnessing here is the level of complicity in the lie. That's the part that keeps getting to me. And when I say get to me, it's not like it's just stunning, right? I can understand a hospital administrator lying to protect the interests, but it's the willful compliance of so many doctors. Now, granted, right now you're hearing about the exodus of nurses and doctors, but I'm pretty hard on this, and I think you know it. It's like, okay, I know why they're exiting, because it's not about the vax, it's about the choice. And they're stepping away because they aren't getting the choice now. The question that I have for every one of them is, how many people did they inject before they got to that point of realizing that they are now going to be in the same position as every person coming in that hospital? Right? And this is where I'm not really patient with people. I accept what's going on as a good thing, that we're trying to all, people are starting to move away from the system. But it's the same thing. If you have promoted the vax, administered the vax, at the end of this thing, when we get through all of this, you are going to be held for Nuremberg crimes. I don't care who you are. And maybe your guilt will be nothing more than community service for a couple of weeks, but you're going to give back to the community, because you don't get a free pass just because you're like, oh, now I'm a hero. I'm leaving my job. I mean, a lot of those people have taken the injection, and I've talked to enough of them that there's a strange thing. It's like, well, I don't, you know, it's a free country. We get free choice. Yeah. So is putting a gun to your head and pulling the trigger. Right. I mean, that's a suicide issue. And that's essentially what this injection is. But on a bigger level, it is literally the complicity with the lie. And it's stunning to me. And I was watching this today, a couple pieces today. In fact, our very noble Mod Bear put a piece up on his Telegram that I watched. It's a good video piece. And it really got me thinking a lot about this. And it's asking the question that I was asking. I mean, it's native to me, because back in 2015 and 2016, when I was still working with DOD, I was doing some research and began to ask the question, if a rogue AI had been leaked out into the system, like the agency had put it in, we'll call it rogue, but had intentionally let it out, and it was operating in the shadows of the internet, like in the dark web and places, and if it was actually functioning. I don't know if you've ever seen Lawnmower Man by Stephen King. That's a wicked film, but yeah, anyway. I was asking the question, is if this was something that was working behind in the scenes. And what I was doing is I was tracking some strange activity that was going on in Wall Street and the effects, kind of strange trades. It was having big social effects, but big trades, and begin to ask the question. Well, the reason I bring this up is that if we really are going to be honest with ourselves, there's some very bizarre aspects to this whole pandemic. And one of them, which is right in our face, is the complicity with the panic and the fear. But not just that, it's the complicity with the directive, the tyrannical directive to mandate an injection It's experimental. Now, there's a lot of studies in sociology that will suggest that this is an effect of social dynamics, the sociodynamics of groupthink. And I get that. But what's stunning to me is when you watch this thing across the globe, there's one interesting thing that everybody can see, and it's happens at school boards, it happens in our political institutions, it's all over in Australian police, it happens with teachers, it happens with doctors and nurses, and it's this, lack of empathy. Lack of empathy. Now, I bring that up because when you test an AI for singularity, which is that it has achieved self-awareness. One of the critical aspects of that test is, does it have empathy? So by definition, we end up with people out here that have no empathy. So by definition, they're either psychopaths or they're non-human. And I'm not going down that route of like, we've got green little men running around. By definition, I'm just telling you, as we look at this, it's like, you have to ask a question. It's like, man, what happened? There was a doctor that I was talking to a while back, and his comment was very, very bizarre, yet very apropos to this discussion tonight, which is he was saying that, and I think he was in Houston. He said, you know, I've known these doctors. And he said, they're great surgeons, great doctors. And he said, all of a sudden, it's like they're in a trance. So when you take a look at how school boards react to people and you take a look at how politicians react to people that are challenging them, just pay attention to the lack of empathy, because it's not normal. It's not a human trait to be that dead. And it's not just the thing is when you think about it within the span of just a school board, that's one thing. But keep in mind that we're talking about hundreds of school boards that are all doing the same thing and reacting the same way. So, of course, we build in our mind the rational place to say, well, they are all being controlled or they were all put in place. Maybe that's possible. But the crazy part is how they all switched on at the same time. And I mean that literally. And so this is a strange part of this whole thing. I don't have an answer for it exactly, but I think I may have a way to look at it that may offer some insight into this greater thing we're dealing with, because we know that we're dealing as well with a spiritual war. And this vax is bizarre because this injection, because we don't really know what it's going to do, but we've all commented how people that take it seem to have a behavior modification. And I think everybody has seen this. And when you see that, you know that something else is going on. The first division that happens in our society is fear. And this whole thing was perpetuated with fear to make them complicit to an agenda. And those that were walking in faith, and those strong with the relationship with Christ and through Christ to the Father, didn't budge. It didn't affect us at all. And so they waved more fear and a few more people peeled off. And then, of course, we had the sellout and the insurgency that was placed on the people by many of the churches and the pastors, which they themselves were part of the agenda to push this thing. And you've seen an increasing number of people going along with this mandate when it makes absolutely makes no sense. So let me read a little bit of Haggai 1, 2 through 11 is what we're going to go through. And I think as we start to read this, there's a perspective I think that we all have to take. It's easy for us to say Ephesians 6, 11 to 18, which is kind of the principle of the armor, the spiritual armor that we need every day. But I want to look at this from a little different angle, which is what our duty is to keep our house strong. So let me begin. Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say that time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. Is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them into a bag with holes. Now, this is really an interesting setup for what's going to come next. And it was this critical statement here, right at the very beginning, is these people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. And then goes on, is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in a paneled house while this house lies in ruins, meaning the house of the Lord? We're in this state because the house of the Lord, this land, was completely cast aside. We built our wealth and empty with bags and holes. We built our houses of sticks. We took care of everything for the me, me, me. And we've cast aside the Lord. And I think that as we're witnessing here is that we're definitely seeing where that strength lies. We cannot exist without God. That's just not going to happen. We are nothing without God. And I think that's one of the hardest realizations that everyone has to come back to. There's the remnant, and then there's this mass of people that have, for the most part, for so many, have rejected God. And this is something I challenge too, because even those that are now waking to say, oh, I took the shot, I'm going to go over here and join those that haven't taken the shot, this is all wrong, we shouldn't be mandated, fine. But there's an integration there of people that are strong in faith and those that are not so strong in faith. And for some that have no faith at all, they just have a principle that it's not right. And while I can say that's fine, because we're kind of moving in that direction, the fact of the matter is that salvation is the critical aspect to bringing us back to center in this country. And if you aren't going to go through the process of salvation, then all we're doing is walking again that center path of trying to get everybody together, unity being the principle, and we're all going to get along whether you're vaxxed or unvaxxed, and we go along our merry way. But at the very beginning, and it was extremely controversial for me to say this, and you know that I was very vocal and still am about it, but I was very vocal about the fact that if you chose the vax, you turned your back on Christ. And you basically walked away from God. And you chose salvation through a needle. And that's where everybody got all spun up. It's like, you can't do that. Once saved, always saved. Is that true? I don't know. I still go back to that. And I'm one that does not buy that line. You know that. Once saved means your commitment to Christ and the walk with Christ only gets more demanding. And you have to work, just like I think it's Haggai 2:12, which I was reading the other night, which was literally that key word, work. Right? You have to work. So we are in a place right now where we're very much dealing with a question of salvation. Now, again, I'm happy to see people walking away. I'm happy to see people coming together. But what's the motive and where are we going? So let's continue with Haggai 1, starting at 7. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the hills and bring wood and build the house, that I may take pleasure in it, and that I may be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, and behold, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why? Declares the Lord of hosts. Because of my house that lies in ruins, while each of you busy himself with his own house. Therefore the heavens above you have withheld the dew, and the earth has withheld its produce. And I have called for a drought on the land and the hills, on the grain, the wine, the new wine, the oil, on what the ground brings forth, on man and beast and all their labors. Now, isn't this an interesting paragraph or paragraph to read when you consider that we're heading into a dark winter, that we're looking at shortages of all sorts of foodstuffs? And here we are toiling away, and we hear this all the time. I can't get through to them. I can't, they don't hear me. And, you know, we've talked very much, and I've said to you very openly that this was a time right now that we need to anchor, to strengthen our homes and our body temple. But in the seven pillars, and I'm not taking credit for this. This is God's hand right here, because I didn't connect the two till just this morning when I was reading this. But the seven pillars, the number one pillar is home churches, which is to create the house for God to live in. Right? So as we're building our, strengthening our homes, we're not just building a home of sticks. We're trying to build the home where God could reside within, first and foremost. And then everything trickles down from that. But on a bigger place, when we look across this nation and we're all doing our task, very much like Joseph, and filling the silos, as I would argue, this is an interesting time where I think we have to reflect very deeply on what we're doing for God's house. Because just as happens here in Haggai 1, the Lord of hosts is going to make a famine on the land and a drought on the land. And it's just, and I look at where we are as a nation, we have not reset God on his throne at all. We as a remnant are trying to get ourselves closer to him, but each one of us as well needs to be sure where we sit with our relationship with Christ. I believe truly that God can fix this whole world with a remnant, as long as the remnant isn't trying to deceive itself. Remember the lesson from Jericho. I think it's a very important one. When the walls fell, they sacked the city, and they slayed every man, woman, and donkey. But God gave them a word not to sack the temple. And they did. One man did. One man. Okay? Not the army. One person. And in so doing, it was misery for Joshua in the next battles. They lost. Every one of us needs to be very honest with ourselves and our relationship with Christ and through Christ to the Father. Now, I hear a lot of people say, like, I've got God in my life, and they talk about Christ. But the question is, have you truly gone through the process of salvation and been saved? And if you have, you should be able to articulate what that entire experience was like for you. And if you can't do that, then you're fooling yourself, because it is a transformational moment. And unfortunately, as a movement, if we aren't working all in the same step here, this is a very critical issue. This is not small. I don't say this lightly. The lessons are within Scripture. We're not trying to interpret something outside of Scripture. We're not trying to walk on the edge of Scripture and say, oh, you know what, I believe in God, but, you know, like, you know, that Jesus dude, I don't know. I mean, I came across, I can't even think of his name now. It was, I wanted to forget it. I'll see if I can find it here while we're talking. Todd something or other. Man, this dude is like off the chain. Insane. And, I mean, this is a guy that is trying to interpret outside of Scripture. And I mean, he's got a big following. And he's also one of these prophet healer showmen. And I don't buy any of it. We need to be looking in Scripture. I think that's just the easiest way of saying it, okay? And as we look in Scripture and look for what it is, just like reading Haggai, I mean, it's right before us. Scripture's speaking to us. And the critical thing is, what are we doing for the house of God? Unfortunately, what we would have traditionally called the house of God, too many of them have become corrupted and have fallen. Yeah, that guy's name is Todd White. Total charlatan, total nonsense. If you follow Todd White, you're probably not shouldn't be on this channel. Either that or like leave him and come here. But you can't, those two don't mix. So we need to be putting a lot of emphasis, as we did at Bard's Fest and as we do each day, of strengthening God's house. Now, I believe, this is me, okay? I believe that our path forward is really going to grow beautifully as we build in the tradition of the church through Paul, the home church. I think that is a powerful mechanism because we can keep the relationship with God pure as long as we're true to Scripture, and it's not like you have to be standing behind a pulpit. You're not expected to be. Home churches are about learning and bringing God into our lives. We can augment that with some really good pastors. And I can name five right off the top of my head, depending on who you liked. And they were all at Bard's Fest. Pastor Tony Wood from Orange County. Pastor John Benzinger from Arizona. Pastor Travis Graham from Georgia. Pastor Casper McLeod from Georgia. And Pastor Butch Paw from West Virginia. You can find them either on a radio podcast or on a live stream. And you can augment those, your home's churches with their word. Very powerful. Okay? But it is essential that we are putting the emphasis to build God's house. It isn't just about us building ourselves. So if we're running along here and we're doing ba-da-da-da-da, guess what? I've got all my preps done, and I stacked up my armory with a bunch of new guns, and that's just you. You're just building that house of sticks. And don't be surprised if it gets ripped apart in whatever form God does that, because you're not honoring God in that place. And so, you know, I, in full honesty to you, I mean, I was doing some repenting this morning because I really felt God's blessed me with a lot of amazing things in the last few years. And I really had to give testimony to the fact that of those things, I hadn't taken time to master some of those things for the purpose that he intended. That's a key word there, right? And I'm making those corrections now, but it's an honesty of the heart, because if God's giving us things, it's also not to put them in the closet to store them. Like, here you go. Oh, thanks, God. What are you going to do with it? Nothing. I gave it to you to use. I know, but I'm just going to keep it away. I mean, that's like the talents, right? Five talents, three talents, one talent. What did you do with your talents? I buried it. That's what hoarding does, okay? So it's essential that in this period of time, as our country is still meandering, and it is, I'm kind of keeping a level line right now. You know, we're gonna have some neat voices here. The people that are leading these movements to have people step away and challenge, be willing to quit their jobs, all of the ones that I have spoken to have a very solid faith and are connected to Christ. I don't know how that is across the movement. I hope it is true. And so what I would say is, if you're part of these groups that are stepping away and risking losing your job to stand for the principle of free choice on the vax, I would add a couple of things. Take time to repent and to put yourself before God and accept Christ in your heart. Make sure you're doing that. Okay, because that's not only is it clear your path, it strengthens your relationship with the Lord, and it strengthens your position in such a way that we are all again on the same path, like the Exodus, right? And for those that are still holding and clinging on to this idea, well, it's a choice. God does not condone suicide. Scripture does not condone suicide. Christ does not condone suicide. So lose that illusion that you're living under, that it's a choice, unless you honestly believe that swallowing a barrel and putting a lead cap to the back of your head is considered a free choice. In technical terms, It's true. But it's not what God intends for us. It's a fail. So I don't see the, I don't buy that line of it's a choice. And so for those that are stepping away for that principle, I'm going to challenge anybody that's listening. If you're stepping away, we honor you and respect you for what you're doing. Be clear about that, because we all need to come together. But make sure your motive is right and you're clear on what you're doing, because this injection is anything but a choice. Okay, it's designed as a depopulation event. And if you can't get that one, you need to go study a little bit. That's the hardest step I think most people are having, is that they've put so much trust in the institutions of man, hospitals, politicians and political institutions, legal and lawyers, education and teachers. And what the amazing part about what's happening right now is all of those houses, God is literally blowing away. We're seeing it. They were houses built on sticks with no place for him. And we're seeing them. We're seeing all the, like, it's like watching all the siding get blown off of a house in a hurricane. We're seeing right through and it's just left with sticks and no place to live. And that's something that we have to really focus on, is the gift that gives, but the opportunity for those to encourage as many to come to Christ. I mean, it's an amazing thing when we talk about this. And I'm, again, just give you my testimony. When I first started talking of God and Christ on these shows, it was not a comfortable place, because I have never brought my faith that far forward. But what is amazing is as we do it, we override this stigmatic programming that's been going on in our head. And we know every one of us has been subjected to this idea of, like, if you say Christ, they're like, oh, you're a Jesus freak. Well, you know what? I am. Yep. I'm a domestic terrorist because I don't believe in the injection. I don't believe that the government is loyal to the people. I believe that the government is a tyranny that needs to be torn down to the ground. And I'm a domestic terrorist because I believe that God needs to be put back on the throne in this country. And I'm a Jesus freak because I'm going to walk in the body of Christ. I believe that everybody at one point or another needs to be on their knees repenting and accepting Christ in their life. And if you haven't done it, and if you can't dictate the time and date it happened and what that experience is like, reset and try it again. So when we start getting back on that place, and you're going to hear this, like, yeah, but we're a country that accepts all faiths and all religions. Whatever. You're right, we are. But it wasn't built on those principles. It was built on Judeo-Christian principles, and it was built principally on the relationship of our relationship through Christ to the Father. And if you doubt that, for anybody that doubts that, then read the Federalist Papers and read the early sermons in this country, because that's what drove it. Okay? So it's in critical place right now. That we are honest with ourselves as we do this walk. And with that honesty comes our revelations of the things that we're holding on to that are sinful. I don't like the baggage of saying we're sinners. That doesn't always, especially with some evangelists, they won't agree with me on that, and I don't care. Because we all sin. But it's the process of what we do about it. I'm not going to walk around all day long with my head down going, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner. No, I'm going to face it. I'm going to, like, God, look, this is what I did. I'm human, but I didn't meet your standard. So I'm going to ask for forgiveness, and I'm going to stand back up, and I'm going to do better, and I'm going to keep striving to be greater. And I think that's when God works the strongest in us. So we go back to this place of where we are as a nation. Individually, we can change the world by beginning in our homes and making sure that God's house, which is each of us, is gifted a place to live. And I've said this many times, if your place to live is a tent, if your place to live is a car, if your place to live is a trailer, if your place to live is a house, an apartment, a condo, a ranch, an estate, whatever that is, God has you there, and it's what he's given you. And what we need to be humbled by is that God has given us that. And we need to steward that as best we can. And by stewarding, that begins by making that God's house. First and foremost, that's God's house. And this is not supplanting the idea that there isn't, you know, trying to replace all the churches. That's not the point. But what we're trying to do is we're trying to move forward with giving God the strength of the house that he demands. Because this country's jacked up. And the Luciferians are running the asylum. And with it, there's a whole bunch of injected sheep that are like right there with him. You know, the other day, there's a, right in my town, you all know my last name's Kesterson, and there's a road, there's actually a bunch of Kestersons that are out here, and there's a road out east of town called Kester Road. So I drove up Kester Road. It's not that long, and it drops off into an unmaintained part of the county. But I had an opportunity, because there's a ranch out there, and I had an opportunity to watch these sheep walk across the field. And it was cracking me up, because it was like one long line, and they were like one, like right behind each other in perfect lockstep, just going, because the first one wanted to go somewhere and they're all just following along. And I'm like, there you go. You're all been injected probably. But this is someone asked on the board, did they vote for Biden? I think they all did. I do. That's a good question. Probably every one of them. It's probably where he got his votes in this area anyway, was from the sheep, the real sheep too. But it's a really important piece, because we have to carry this nation forward. And when I say we, it's what I'm very comfortably say Bard's Nation, but it's everybody that wants to follow Christ and lead that way with resetting God in our home and building up the sovereignty of our homes with God on the throne above us. Because each step like that is like taking back a little bit of territory for God. Because our goal here in this nation has to be to reset God on the throne in this nation. And when we do that, we're going to see a tremendous shift in this country. If everybody right now in this country literally repented, put God before them, I'm going to guarantee you there'd be some serious earth-shaking moments of transformation in a way that we can't even imagine. And how do we know that? We've saw it happen at Bard's Fest. When do you get a rainbow? In the middle of the day, right above the stage, at the very end of the event of the festival. It's God speaking. So what I would encourage everybody to do, take some time and reflect on how you've been working in your home. No judgment whatsoever. Just reflect on this. And as we go through this process right now, which is very important, is we are following, you know, we're literally filling the silos metaphorically, but we're doing it because that's the preps, because something is coming and we're being wise and we're listening to our heart. And I think for myself, and I think for many others that I talk to, everybody's feeling the same compulsion. And it's not being driven by media, it's being driven by something else. We're trying to get that foundation underneath us so that we can be good stewards of what God gives us, but it being prepared for a storm that's coming. And the storm is looking at us right in the face. If you can't see it, take off the sunglasses, right? But with that, as we are talking about that, and as you're going through your preps and your things, don't lose sight of what comes first, number one, which is God at the center of all things, God at the center of your home, and nurturing that relationship in whatever form you're doing a home church, okay? And then on the next part of that is look at everything that God has given you, from the roof over your head to the car to your clothes and to all the things that you're acquiring in preparation for this period, whatever this period's going to be like. And don't forget to thank God and to steward it well, meaning that if you have things, take time with them, learn them, master them, get to know them. It's important. God doesn't just give us things. He gives us things with intent. That's my belief, okay? Especially now when we are in such a time of gifts and talents. And someone just wrote this, and I totally agree. It said, share them. So this is as an example. I'm going through a lot of stuff right now, and I'm sorting out the studio, and I'm finding it, and I'm literally listening. I've had a couple people reach out to me and say, hey, you know, I need some help with a couple of items. Do you have any suggestions? And I happen to have those items. And I'm like, I'll send them to you. And I've sent out, I've got two boxes going out tomorrow. I sent out two boxes last week. I've got another box going out the day after. These are things that I know are in excess, but I've been gifted with that. And there's something that can help somebody else in this time. It's so important. I took a whole bunch of brand new clothes. I didn't have time to return them, and I missed the return point of 30 days or whatever because of Barge Fest. So I took them down to one of the things that's like a mission here. I mean, those are, we've just got to keep helping people as we can, and we have to help one another as much as possible. So we raise up each other as we continue to raise ourselves, and keeping God at the center of our homes to make sure that we strengthen that place for God, that throne for God in each one of our homes, because in the end, this country is only going to get right again when God sits on the throne above us all, as was dictated in the Declaration of Independence, and that we all come to before him with Christ in our heart, which is repentance. And when we do those things, the earth shall shake, in a good way, by the way, in a good way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this time and this reflection that we have. It's a period to kind of look at ourselves and look at our relationship of where we're doing in our lives to you, and to be honest with ourselves, Lord, and we pray for that honesty of the heart to be able to be clear with where we're sitting, to identify those things that are sinful in our lives, to humble ourselves before you, to ask for the forgivenesses, and ultimately to repent for the things that we do that we know we should not. And then, Lord, to have you continue to provide us with that clarity of how this path needs to be. And as we walk deeper in that path, to be able to see those inequities that we have so that we can rise up above them and become more pure for you. Lord, we pray for those that don't have that deep relationship with Christ and that trust in him, that repentance through him. And we pray for those to be humbled and to be honest and to accept Christ in their lives. It is through Christ to you, Father, that we understand that clearly, and it is the only way forward. And so, if there are those that feel that it's unnecessary, we ask that they can see the clarity of the necessity of accepting Christ in their lives and truly what that sacrifice represented. A sacrifice to abolish sin by being sacrificed on the cross, and therefore through Christ to allow us to return to you. And let us understand that deeply, and understand how important that is as a whole, that we walk that path together, being reminded of the lessons of Jericho and Joshua's army, and equally of the messages deep within Haggai. And so, Lord, we're reminded of Jeremiah 6:16. Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look, and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Let us find rest for our souls, Lord. Let us seek the ancient paths. And let us hear you clearly. And we say these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. So, this is a really great time. Hey, I just wanted to say something. I just, as I was doing that prayer, it just kind of struck me. And I think that sounded, I hope it didn't sound arrogant when I was, or boastful about what I was doing with, as I was cleaning up the studio. I mean, it's a really big blessing. That's what I was trying to get at, is as I am cleaning up the studio, the blessing the Lord gave me was that there was need shown by some people that were able to speak truth. And God brought that message to me, and in the glory of it, I was able to, I'm looking at things going, Lord, look at this. These are brand new items that I haven't used that you provided for me. And it's that sort of relationship I'm talking about. And that's the beauty of when we listen to God and we open our hearts to God and say, okay, we need to help one another. And we start doing that process. God leads people to us to do just that. So it's really, that was what I was trying to get at. It had not to do with me. It just had to do with that moment when, as you're cleaning things out, as I was organizing stuff, and I had still stuff from Bard's Fest. And there were things that suddenly, as I'm asking myself, it's like, wow, these weren't used and they're brand new. Was that a good stewardship of God's gift? God's like, oh yeah, it is. Watch this. I'm going to give you why you have them. It just wasn't when you thought. And it was just like, wow, thanks God. That's amazing. That's the point, and we just need to keep our hearts open to that. So, wonderful. God is just so wonderful in what he does and how he works through us. So, Patriots, I hope you have a very blessed night. I'll be back tomorrow night. We have a really great week coming up this week. We've got Pastor Travis Graham this week. We have Zach from Red Pill 78 coming up. I have got a fireman from the Chicago Fire Department, he's coming up this week. He's talking about their pushback with the alien Mayor Lightfoot, the one that looks like one of those grays with big buggy eyes. Oh man, she's a lizard head if we've ever known one. Anyway, and their actions, and everybody there is like standing up boldly. I'm working tomorrow with Clout Hub to start moving some stuff over to Clout Hub, and we're going to start getting that action going. And then either at the end of the week or early next week, we've got Dr. Larry Pilevsky and we've got Dr. Lee Merritt coming on again. It's just some great stuff. So we really have some great guests coming on. It's going to be some great shows. Good stuff. So stay tuned. It's going to be an exciting week. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. Our prayers and our truthfulness to God and our trust in God and our honesty about our relationship with Christ, those are so important right now, just in our walk. You know, it's as God leads us, and we walk in that place of scripture in our heart and listening to him closely. It's a beautiful walk together. And we are walking and we are in our exodus of some portion. We're going. We don't even know where we're going. We just know that we're not part of that anymore. I can't go back. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And as we know, God's won this. And in the end, God always wins. But it's so important to appreciate that God's working through us and trusting in us and growing us each day. And this is a pretty rough time. But as long as we keep pushing on keeping the house of God and building up the house of the Lord, it's going to give that strength back to us in our homes and in our communities. Put God before you in all things. So I'll see you tomorrow night for Bards FM. and fishers of men. Until then or until the next time, God bless, good night, thank you, and out for now.
All this time we had to prove that we could stand here too. All the nights been pushing through, fight for all we had to lose, reaching out for something to pull us up to level ground. Oh, I can see it now, I can see it now. We're on the edge of a moment, been out of our depth, now we're diving in. The light up ahead, we're running to it. We're on the edge, now we're diving in. Stay a while and you'll see that every broken dream fit together flawlessly. Something to find.